for the scripture reading. It comes from Mark chapter 12, verses 28 through 31. And one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, asked him, that is the Lord Jesus, "Which commandment is the most important of all?" Jesus answered, "The most important is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Shall we pray? Dear Lord God Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who has said these words, that he will guide us, understand and grasp the meaning, the deeper meaning of your words today to each heart. May you be glorified through your word, and that your spirit opens our hearts to full obedience to your word and praise you for it. In Christ our Lord, amen. Our Lord was asked a question about what the greatest commandment was by one of the lawyers of his day. And he began in answering that question by these words, "Hear, O Israel, Lord God Almighty is one you are to love with all your heart, all with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is to love your neighbor as yourself." Today we're going to consider who this God is. Who is this Lord that we are to love? First, it is the God of creation, the heaven and the earth, that we are to love and cherish and devote our affections to, besides anything else, more than anything else. For in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And yet, how God's creation has been marred and degraded by human hearts that have gone astray, as Romans chapter 1 tells us. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their righteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world." And yet, how sad it is that human beings, rather than acknowledging the existence of God through the natural revelation, gone astray. So, for us, It is to reaffirm our allegiance to the Creator God, who not only made heaven and earth, but also ourselves as well. Each one of us has made, and each one of us has been given the mission to honor and glorify Him. Second, it is the God of love that we are to love, because God is love. 1 John chapter 3, 1, we are instructed by the Apostle John when he said, "See what kind of love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are." It is an acclamation as well as the wonder of the truth that God is love, and that God has loved us and made us His children, God's children. The Maker of heaven and earth has made us His children, not His enemies, not His rejected one, but rather He has loved us and made us to be His children. And the Apostle John says, so we are. That is true. We are the children of God. Not tomorrow, not yesterday, not 1,000 years from now. We are the children of God, and it is wise for us to regard each one of us as such, a child of God. When you talk to an elder, when you talk to a deacon, when you talk to a little child in our congregation, in the kingdom of God, family, we are to say, you are a child of God. You may not know it, you may not appreciate it, you may not have thought about it in that way, but you are a child of God. What a precious thought that is. How that ignites in our hearts the affection for that person, for that child, for that human being in the streets as well. Because they may just as well have been chosen of God for eternal life. It is a givenness of God the Father. God gave His love toward us. It was a willing, pleasing attitude on the part of God the Father to love us and make us His child. Secondly, now number three, that is, that He is the God of forgiveness. The God of forgiveness that we are to love. In Isaiah chapter 43:25, we read, I am He who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more. God the Father, for His own sake, for His own name's sake, for His own pleasure, for His own glory, for His own interest, for His own choice. No matter how ugly we may be in our own opinion of ourselves, how bad it may be in the opinions of others toward us, world may reject us, world may hate us, world may rebel against us, and the God the Father says, your sins are blotted out, and I forget your sins and remember your sins no more. How can that be? When we think of it, it's a wonder of all wonders that God Almighty, the omnipotent one, omnipresent one, all-knowing God, who can remember everything, everywhere, says, I will remember your sin no more. I will not remember you. I will not remember your sins. When you stand before me, your sins don't exist. It's gone. It's blotted out. It's like you clean your mouth, wipe and clean like that, wiping out. What a God we can claim. What a comforting word these are. I will remember your sins no more. Reaffirming that, the writer of Hebrews in 8:12 says, for I will be merciful toward their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. What a wonderful, merciful, comforting words these are. So is the word that worth carrying to your deathbed if there was one. I thought I had one. You know, not long ago, my doctor told me you need surgery, open heart surgery, not something to mess around with. You are a good candidate for open heart surgery, and I didn't know what I was going into, although that was a very scary thing. So I get preparing myself to meet the Lord. You know, maybe this is the last time I'm going to breathe in this planet Earth. And after I came back alive, my doctor told me, you are a miracle man. What did he mean by saying I am a miracle man? Because I guess he did not count that I was going to come alive. He did not think that I had a much chance of coming out of the surgery alive. So he kind of surprised me for his opinion of me, although he was encouraging me to take, but I lovingly thought that he was appreciative of what the Lord could do. And then second time I went to see him, he says, you are a miracle man again. So apparently that was an impression that he deeply appreciated. Yes, it is worth carrying the words of Jesus, I will remember your sins no more. It's worth dying with. Next is God of comfort is the one we love. God of comfort in all our affliction. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 through 4, we read, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. God of all comfort is the God we love. Because God himself has understood through his Son that he was agonizingly in grief over the death of his Son. Our Father agonized in giving up his Son, Jesus Christ, for us. And when Jesus cried out, Abba, Father, why have thou forsaken me? It is a cry of the Son of God in behalf of us on the cross. To redeem us, he suffered. He carried our sorrows. His grief he bore. Our grief he bore. Our chastisement he met. Such was our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And through that suffering, our Lord indeed comforts us as well. He knows our infirmities as well, and it is that God that we love. Another item that we think about God that we love is that of God's coming for the second time. God of the second coming in Christ our Lord is worthy of our love. In Revelation chapter 22, 1 through 6, then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Through the middle of the street of the city also, on either side of the river, the tree of life, with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servant will worship him. And they will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and night will be no more. There will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. This one expression, there will be no night there. There will be no suffering there. There will be no illnesses there. There will be no diseases there. There will be no griefs there. It will be at the second coming of Christ when we shall stand before him as his lamb and sheep to be redeemed by his grace, while those who have rejected him perish. Now as we move on now to how shall we love God, we are told that we are to love God with all our heart. Heart is an inner self. It is our intention, our will, that is meant here when we say heart. Indeed, heart is a seat of physical, spiritual, and mental life. And this mental life has been marred and degraded by sin. And therefore, human heart is desperately wicked, according to Jeremiah 17:9. Our heart is desperately wicked, born wicked, because we have been born into the family of wicked family without knowing God. And yet, God has promised that he will give us a new heart, that he will create a new heart, new life in us to honor God and his Son, Jesus Christ. Indeed, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, because the goodness of heart of Jesus is there in his heart. Therefore, whatever comes out of that heart is a good thing, merciful thing, loving thing. If we begin to have a heart bad, then bad things will come out of our heart. No matter how we disguise and try to cover it up, that won't work. And yet, when a new heart we have, then that heart will bring forth wonderful things. Also, we are to love our God with all our soul. Notice these words, all our soul, all our mind, all our strength, all our heart, loving God that way. Soul is one that Jesus referred to saying that fear God who destroys body and soul, and fear him and revere him and respect the God who can do that. Don't be afraid of anybody or anything that only harm your body, but not soul, but only God. And this God the Father has saved us and given us a soul to commune with him, and that our soul shall be united with God the Father in Jesus Christ when that day comes. And as we walk in this world, he is the one that is guiding us and comforting us, so we can say with the psalmist, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits." Counting our benefits would be the joy of life and joy of walking with God every day. Blessings of grandchildren, blessings of their dancing in weird way, but lovely in the eyes of their grandparents. Joy of living in America. You know, a lot of people talk about America being this, that. I cannot understand that. Every morning, every day, I tend to think America is such a wonderful country that has done me so much good. Where can I expect income on Social Security? You think somebody will give me money to live on after you get old? Not much. Korea is getting up to it, but I gave up Korean citizenship, you know, 60 years ago or so. Anyway, I'm so thankful for the generosity of the United States of America, no matter how other people say bad things about it. Benefits in that way is very good. So bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all his benefits, among which are the physical, social, as well as spiritual. Then we are to love the Lord with our mind. This brings us to think about the mind of Christ that we are to emulate. Mind of Christ, it was a humble mind. And you know, humility is a word our Lord must cherish every moment of our lives. And we prefer others before you, and not seeking so much of our own interests, but the interests of others, and pay deference to others, to anything else. All these are the good embodiments of a humble man or humble woman. Then loving our God with all our strength. The strength is the ability or the force. We are to live in the strength of his might. Ephesians 6:10 through 18, we find how we are to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God to fight against the authorities in the air, demonic authorities, satanic authorities, unseen, invisible, that is, in this world filled up. If you turn away from the Lord for a moment or not guarding enough, Satan will whisper at you with all sorts of thoughts, running wild and dancing before you. Devil is ever real. Satan is ever real. Every as real as the air we breathe. To combat this evil empire, the evil satanic accuser. Satan means accuser. The one who blames you, one who accuses you, one who brings you guilty trips millions of times for the things that you can do nothing about. This is the job of Satan, that can destroy you, demolish you, annihilate you, and yet we are told to claim the power of God that can only stand and win over such cynical empire of Satan. That's why Paul says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil, quoting from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. Dear brothers and sisters, this is no time to be mediocre. This is no time to be wishy-washy. This is no time to be feeling good about ourselves without really realizing what the devil is all about. As much as I love America, and as much as the modern technological developments sometimes, as my professor at Geneva College, J.G. Voss, said, there are areas, I'm just speaking in general terms of what he taught us at Geneva College, that human endeavors reaching out to extraterrestrial realms may be doing a little too much that God had given the man to do. So whatever that may mean, the thing is that we as Christians need to be aware of the enemy round about us, and that this enemy is satanic, and that this enemy need to be resisted by the power of God. And then last of all, our Lord said, love your neighbor as yourself, which means that we are to love the ones near and dear. The word neighbor means people living close by. That means family members. You know, interaction with family member is a very interesting world of self-discipline and Christian godliness. And if you truly love your wife and children consistently by the power of God and grace of God, which you need to do with, as we all are exposed to satanic aggression, what a joy it is to love with a mind of loving God first. Just loving God at all times, God the Father, with all my mind, so that mind does not allow other thoughts to come in. Because you are loving God the Father with the mind working 24 hours, loving God the Father who loves, who forgives, who forgets, who welcomes the prodigal son. This God the Father, loving Father, you are thinking about it with your mind. And when that, in that space, there is very, very slim chance of Satan coming in. You have dynamics like that with your soul as well, with your heart as well, with your strength as well, The dynamics of Christian life is to allow God, living God, Almighty God, suffering God, comforting God, enabling God, the Father. Your mind is meshed, your will is meshed, your heart is meshed with that. And then Satan trembles outside, I suppose. And I feel so peaceful at times when that prevails. May that be worth something to think about for all of us. In that way, living out that way. And then our neighbor, at last of all, is one that needs compassion and mercy. And there are a lot of things that we can pay attention to and think about and pray for the people that are unfortunate and people that are worthy of our love. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for your words. Grant that you will continue to guide us in the growth of our lives in relationship with our Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name, amen.